afraid. Be very afraid.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Back in My Day. My name is Michael Power, and once again, I have the power, although our regular host, David Petrangelo, will be joining us for this episode. But to start it off, I have with me our other two intrepid co-hosts. Their names
Walter.
Are...
Walter.
And?
Wife Power.
Okay.
Ina Power.
Wife Power and Ian Walter. Thank you for being here up front, unlike our other gallivanting member of the podcast. And what we're going to talk about today, something that is way overdue, and that is our review that we promised to do last summer at the conclusion of our summer movie wager. And actually, it was Dave's pick, too, which is the ironic thing. We are reviewing The Fly.
I think you're making a mistake. I think you really want to talk to me.
Sorry, I have three other interviews to do before this party's over.
Yeah, but they're not working on something that'll change the world as we know it.
They say they are.
Yeah, but they're lying.
So Dave won the summer movie wager. The rule is whoever wins makes everyone else watch a movie of their choice. And Dave picked The Fly. There's an older version of The Fly. This is the 1986 version. Directed by David Cronenberg, notable Canadian director, and starring Jeff Goldblum. So it's a movie.
So the big question is going to be, is this film going to join the pantheon of Dave's notoriously bad picks for summer movie
wager right.
wins? That's right. Because he's made us watch Kazam. And what's the other one? Spawn.
Spawn.
Yeah,
very
good movies.
So the summer movie wager is something we do every year, something we stole from Slash Film. So give them the credit, Slash Film Cast. And the winner, like I mentioned, gets to make the rest of the members of the podcast watch movie of their choice. Now, what it really says what kind of person you are when you win. Are you going to torture your co-hosts and make them watch something terrible just to lord your power over them, Dave, or are you going to pick something good and something we can all watch and enjoy together? So we know what kind of leader Dave is. He's picked, as you mentioned, Ian, Kazam and with the Spawn. So
yeah.
Wife Power, let's start with you. What did you think of The Fly? Was Dave salvaged his reputation, or is this another painful experience for you?
For me personally, this was another painful experience.
Nice. The legend lives on.
He's not here to defend himself. That's the best part.
I can understand. So, like, if you look at, like, the reviews and stuff, people like the movie. I can understand the perspective of enjoying this movie, especially if you like creature features. But for me, this movie was just, like, so disturbing. There are so many instances where I looked over at Mike and was just like, what are we watching? Like, why would Dave pick this movie? And, like, in all fairness, I think he did say that he had never seen it.
Right.
But it was just, yeah, it was not for me. I did not enjoy it. Again, I can understand, like, the acting was good, but in terms of, like, enjoyment, I like this movie. No, I did not. I will never watch it again.
Yeah, I did. I wouldn't, knowing you, I would, Wife Power wouldn't peg you as a Cronenberg fan of any of his movies. He's known for this sort of body horror. So it really is like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And that's what he's known for. And
horror sci-fi. Or the other
way around. Horror sci-fi, yeah, but that's what he's known for, right? The psychological horror, the body horror, the creature effects, and the making it look all real. It's practical, right? And it's impressive what they did with this movie, considering it was made in 1986 with no CGI. Like, that, I think, is why the movie is so popular, is that where they just went for it and showed what a guy turning to a fly could be in the creepiest possible way. and you kind of believe it, and it's so gross, and it would be gross, right? But yeah, I had a feeling that it wasn't going to be your cup of tea. But what did you think of it, Ian? Had you seen it before? What's your relationship with it? And what did you think
Seen it
about it?
before, and even so much as like I probably watched it pretty recently when I saw that it popped up onto Disney Plus, because here in Canada we get all the Hulu and the Fox properties on Disney Plus. So when The Fly showed up there, I definitely threw it on one night and then was happy to rewatch it again after Dave picked it. So definitely had fun revisiting this one. And looking like at the star of the film, I think like I don't know about you, Mike, but like this movie lives or dies with like your love for Jeff Goldblum. Like I think this is his, like whatever they were going for with this movie, he went for it and he committed to the bit. And I think he nailed it in as far as the role of Seth Brundle goes. So I enjoyed Cronenberg's take on The Fly. This is a remake of an old like 50s film, and I think the practical effects, they still are terrifying. Like I think I'll take these practical effects of the 80s over like the shoddy C, like whatever, if you even want to call that CGI of Spawn in the 90s.
Right,
like
exactly.
like that was
Yeah, good
terrible
point.
hell effects versus like these practical ones that, yeah, a little dated in the sense that you can tell you're watching a movie, but it's such body horror, it's such imagery and like disturbing nature that like you actually still
It
feel
holds up
grossed
a
out
lot better.
regardless.
It's so to your point, it holds up a lot better when it's practical and it's actually tangible things they were doing, right?
So I was
Tangible
happy to return
effects.
to The Fly, and
Okay.
I think it's another one of those 80s classics. I do think it's a horror film, like that's what they're going for, but it's got a lot of drama in there, not your typical creature feature, and also just like a solid sci-fi concept, I think, in my mind.
So my relationship with, so I'll go next. My relationship with the movie, I'd never seen it before. I'd only known it from that Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode. And I was like, when Bart goes in it, and I was surprised how much like heavily inspired
They
is like,
Simpsons does great adaptations with
yeah,
those Treehouse of Horror stuff,
it
yeah,
was good. It was
for
like the
sure.
portal stuff. So I have to give the movie credit because I understand exactly where Mina is coming from. And if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. If you're too grossed out by that kind of stuff, you're not gonna like the movie. But just knowing that that's what the movie was going for, well, that means that it was very successful at what it was going for. If it's grossing people out and turning people off of the movie, like that's what it was trying to do. So I think it really achieved what it was trying to do, and that's a gross out body horror movie, and that's just not going to be for everyone. So I don't think it's for me either. It's not like my favorite thing to watch, but I respect the craft and the direction and the practical effects and all that. And so I thought it was good. I thought it was a good movie to have seen and watch. I haven't seen like pretty much any other body horror movies that I can think of, like Cronenberg movies. And I kind of know that they're not my thing, so I don't seek them out. So the only way I'm going to watch them is to be forced to watch them this way. When someone like Dave gets to have his power over us and what he picks. So yeah,
So I'm
it was a good ex I actually thought it was a good experience, and I enjoyed it, and I kind of see why Cronenberg is seen as the master of body horror, and this being the
nice.
famous movies. And Jeff
Mina,
Goldblum is awesome. He's
I'm
awesome.
curious, Mina, because according to you, Dave is on a hot streak when it comes to providing some real interesting picks for us to watch, as the
Interesting
summer
is a way
movie
to put
wager on back
it,
in my day.
yeah.
So was there any redeemable quality of this film, or was it just like trash from start to finish? You never want to see it again. I know you never want to see it again, but was there anything while you were watching that was like, all right, well, this part was all right?
Can you res like what I said? Can you respect
Yeah.
that they kind of
That's
did
what
what
I
they were
mean.
going
It's
for?
like I can understand why people like the movie, why it's like regarded as a good movie. Like I think on Letterboxd it has a four-star average. So like I understand the perspective, but for me it's just like, I mean, in general I'm not a huge horror fan. Like period. And then the
Especially this not being your genre, the body horror gross out stuff, especially probably
Yeah, it
not.
was just, it was so like disturbing and gross. And like, I don't know if it's coming from like the female perspective. And like, I think, I can't remember if I had just given birth or was like late in my pregnancy when we watched it. So like,
It was after. It was definitely after.
it was okay. So it
We
was like
had all of
shortly
it, yeah.
after, but like, I think that whole part of it too, like just recently going through a pregnancy, like it just did not sit well for me. So it just,
Yeah,
yeah, it's.
they let's so we'll go to spoilers, but like he really goes for it in the like how fucked up and disturbing can it be? It's like a person turning into a fly. Like the average person would just make like a generic thing, but he was like, "What's the most fucked up thing that can happen?" He can turn fly. He slowly turns into a fly, and his fingernails fall out. And he, like, the grossest part for me was when he barfs on the food. And then it's like, what would be even? He gets a girl pregnant while he's got the fly DNA. You know what I mean? That's just like so messed up. Like whose
Yeah.
brain goes there? And then they have that, yeah, that scene you're alluding to. With her when he's she it's actually a nightmare scene. It's not the real thing, but she delivers that like gross
Fly
larva thing,
baby.
and it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
fly, it's like, oh, it's horrible. It's
Well, and
not a movie if you're
that's,
squeamish for
it's a
sure.
good visual because you can understand her fear and trepidation of like
Yeah.
going forward with having a
Well.
baby, right? So it's like, yeah, for sure. And I like that you mentioned that too, Power, because that's what I do like about the film is the gradual nature of his transformation. So the whole time he's going from like, brilliant scientist, kind of aloof, whatever, tries to find love in Gina Davis' character. And
Oh yeah,
then
way hornier of a movie than I anticipated too.
But like I kind of like that aspect of it because it shows like the animalistic nature that he takes on the characteristics of like, someone that's been infused with like primal DNA, that kind of stuff. So so I do like that kind of gradual progression in the way that you see that transformation slowly. Every time you pan back to him, it's almost like he's got like a new boil on his face or some new piece to it. So it's just like from start to finish, it's pure transformation. Now I think the trade-off in this 1986 sci-fi horror is that like the character development on some of the side, like some of the other characters, is not quite there. I think that there's not a strong like focus on, let's say, Gina Davis's character being the heroine final girl. Like it's more so just like her in tandem with her ex-boyfriend, who's kind of a loser character, who I don't think inherently is a bad writ poorly written character when you first meet him. Like he's intentionally like that kind of macho idiot kind of character that like she has, it's kind of like an obstacle for her. But I don't like that they give him that moment at the end to kind of redeem himself, because they should have just leaned into that and maybe even killed him off, because I think like the fact that he gets to save her is kind of a negative on the whole experience, right? Like she should be able to pull herself out of that situation. But alas, our gracious host is in here to justify whether his pick of the fly was another stinker in a long line of legendary stinkers from our gracious host, or was this actually a redeemable film?
Dave, what do you think? Do you think we liked it or we didn't like it?
So okay, so that's what I was just about to ask is if you guys have all done your sort of
We have, yeah.
okay overarching thought. Okay, so I think without knowing at all, not asking you guys at all, Mike and me, I'm pretty sure you guys watched it like months ago because you did your homework and I've been a slacker. But I think we're split down the middle. I think between the four of us, we're split down the middle. That's going to be my guess. Who liked it, I think might be a little bit more difficult, but I think Mike and Ian would have liked this the most. I don't know why. I'm just
Okay.
assuming.
All right. Here we go, listeners.
It's a
They're just gonna have to go back and listen to figure out the
yeah, I'm gonna
answer.
have to. Yeah. So
We're not gonna tell
Yeah, don't honestly don't. Maybe I'll be able to figure it out based on how we're talking about it in the next little bit. I think that okay, so the fly so I picked this movie, I think, at the time because I was like, I've never seen this. And at the time I was like, we'll watch it around Halloween. And clearly here we are, like 6 months later, because you know, that's fucking rolling light
back in my day.
Because life.
Life. Yeah, life, right? So it's fine. It's not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's like a horror movie. It's there's body horror in it, I think is really, really what it is. But I think it's up and down. It's a very mixed bag for me. I don't think it's a terrible movie, but I don't even actually even really know if this is renowned as like one of the best Cronenberg movies or one of the best body horror movies at the time. I actually don't really know. I know a lot of people have seen it. I know it's a remake of a movie from like the 50s or 60s, which I've seen like screenshots of, and I'm just like, this looks like classic black and white horror type of stuff. And this kind of feels like that's what they're going for, except they tried to go a little too far at points with it, I think, for me. And that's where it sort of lost me. I was in at the beginning. I like how it just sort of starts. You know, the first like 20 minutes is like, we're not messing around. We're just going to get right into it. This is what it's about. I find some points, Gina Davis's character seems to be a little too invested too quickly. I don't, you know, I think the movie could have used an extra like 10 or 15 minutes to make her character a little bit more believable. And then at the end, it just...
Her name is Veronica Quaife. I had to look it up because I didn't know the character's name.
I couldn't remember what the name was. Yeah. I watched it less than 24 hours ago and I already forgot what her name was. Yeah, so it's up and down. Like the beginning's pretty good. In the middle, I'm like, okay, I kind of get where they're going with this. And then I think they just decided to say, you know what? We're running out of time. Fuck it. Let's go for it. And that's kind of what happens in the last like 15 minutes. I just came into the call, Ian, when you were talking about the progress of how he
status Borens.
Yeah,
boring.
Yeah, yeah. How
status
he
boring.
He more like Borophil. Like I think you were saying how like you can see the progress on his face and his body and stuff when he's transforming into the fly and everything. I actually thought that when you first started seeing it and it wasn't addressed in the movie, like she doesn't point it out, he doesn't point it out. I think it's for like, you know, a few scenes that kind of go to the market and stuff. And he like buys her a necklace or something. You can see his skin, you know, kind of has, it almost looks like acne, but it looks, you know, dark and stuff. And he kind of like freaks out at the coffee shop and stuff, like those points.
When he's having the arm wrestle match and the guy goes, this guy eats too many chocolate bars.
Doesn't wash his face.
Those things, like I thought it looked good. I thought that makeup was really well done. We know what Goldblum looks like. Like we know what his face is then and now. Honestly, he kind of looks the same. He just has a few more wrinkles and that's pretty much it. But he looks like the same guy like 40 years later, which is insane. So I thought that looked pretty good. And then when they started going into the other stuff, I think that ending scene for me was like, okay, I guess.
I think the ending was my favorite part. When they just went for it, okay. And they just, it got ridiculous, but wasn't gross anymore. And it was like,
that's true. Yeah,
his transformation was so weird, but well done and looked good for the time, especially.
Yeah, yeah. So I think leading up to the gross parts, the gross out parts, I thought was really well done, and I enjoyed that. I kind of bought a little bit of how he was progressing to be a little bit more out there and weird and just whatever. It was messing with his head and stuff. Overall, it's a mixed bag for me. Like I just think it's good, but it's not amazing. I don't know. That's where I sit.
I'll tell you why I'll never forgive you for this movie, yeah. Dave, because there's a scene in the movie where he takes the food and then he barfs on it with his stomach acid when he's a fly and he eats it. And I was like, why does he do that? And then like I looked it up. That's actually how flies eat.
Yeah,
right?
They say it in the movie. Yeah.
But yeah, they say it in the movie. But now I can't get that out of my head that every time a fly is landing on my food when I'm having a picnic, it's barfing on it.
Yeah.
That's what it's doing.
Right.
I cannot get
you know
that
what?
that
I'll piggyback on what you said
back
and
out of
say,
my brain, and now I can't look at anything
at Dave.
The same.
Yeah,
but Fly
I'm also mad at Dave because I also looked up Fly as while I was watching this film, so that's on you, Dave. Even though you're right, I did enjoy the film. Of course. Looking up what flies do is not on my thing.
Not advised.
List,
so. Well, now everyone knows. Yeah. Now everyone has to suffer like us with that knowledge.
Everyone comes to the show for science, so there we go.
But yeah. I think for me, and I kind of waited for Dave to join us for me to make this point, but I think for me the movie shines because of Jeff Goldblum, and because, you know, when we look back, you know, love him or hate him or however you feel about him, it's like the character, like the grandmaster, like the characterization of Jeff Goldblum, it all stems back to like these days, right? Like when he's doing The Fly, like these are like the Jeff Goldblum isms that like gradually get more progressive over time. And I think he's like a unique actor in that.
Was he like a heartthrob back then in the day? I was asking Wife Power that at the time. Like, was he a heartthrob in the
80s? They certainly went for it with like the peak physique scene and like all that, and him doing all the
flips. No, he was seen because remember in Jurassic Park, he was like the sexy scientist.
True.
He had like the leather jacket.
So, speaking of Jurassic Park, did anyone notice in this scene where it's like just before he buys the necklace, like you said, Dave, they're in the diner, right?
Yeah.
And you're starting to see the negative side of his transfer. Like, you know what I mean? He was in peak form, but now it's also playing on his psychosis and stuff like that. So he's in the diner and he's like going, you know, full Goldblum on her. And he's starting to say, like, you know, I felt like $1 million, and he's getting all excited, and he starts to slam the table. And when he starts to slam the table, I immediately thought of Jurassic Park when he's talking to Hammond, and he's like, now you're packaging it, and you're selling it, and you're selling it, and he's slamming the table.
That's right. I forgot about that.
must go faster. But
I also love how I was thinking about it in my head, and then she calls him out on, like, hey, you want any coffee with that sugar? Like,
yeah.
That's the same stupid joke that everybody says when, like, oh, you make your coffee different from me. Right. It's like, hey, you want some coffee with that cream?
Time it's actually like...
But it's actually like applicable. He's just putting like literally 3 cups of sugar in this tiny little espresso cup. It's like, there'd be no coffee left.
So you know we love our some Jurassic Park on Back in My Day. So listeners, go check out our episode 100 if you want to hear us talking about more Jurassic Park. But also, just like when he first snaps on her, like he really leans into it, right? And he goes like, you're a fucking drag or something like that. Like the second, and I think the only thing that kind of hampers that transformation is they didn't show him being like as sensitive right up top. I think it would have been nice if he was being like really sweet to her in the beginning, and then like then it really hits hard when he starts to freak out, right? But like he was always kind of being that kind of smug, arrogant scientist.
That's true, he was that because he's just like, oh, I'm that guy, I've created this thing that's going to change the world, and he kind of had that from the beginning, which I can understand. You know, you're that person, you've created this technology, whatever, right? What I didn't buy at the beginning, even though I did like that first sort of half hour or something, is just how quickly she was like attracted to him. I didn't see where that came from. Like all of a sudden she's standing there and she's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to fuck this dude. It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
I see that point, 'cause I had that thought, but then I also saw another angle to it where it's like, she's clearly also seeing this as an opportunity. Right. And like kind of playing that angle of like, oh, well, I'm going to really make bank off the story. So it's like that much more enticing. Like he's all of a sudden become appealing to her because, you know, he's useful.
He's useful, but she didn't feel like she was that, she had that personality where she would, she wanted to be a journalist, right? She wanted to be a serious journalist. She wanted to just get the story and do the story. It didn't feel like she was the person that thought she needed to use her body to get the job, so to speak, right? It just didn't feel that way. After that, I guess you sort of forget about it because then they're just in a relationship or something, right? But
yeah,
I think like it's okay. Like I think we've talked about multiple times how like a movie that's 2.5 hours long is just sometimes unnecessary. I think this movie could have used a few extra scenes where those things were developed, and I would believe that she would want to hug him when his head is literally splitting into 5 different pieces. Like that particular scene where his ear pops off and she's like, oh, I feel so bad for you, I'm literally going to hug you on the side where your ear just popped off. Like, what?
I think I get that. I just wrote that off as like, hey, it's the 80s and the movie's not really a romantic movie. They just need to get the people in a relationship so that it just needs to happen up. Yeah, when he goes his retribution. So yeah, it wasn't the focal point of the movie, but that criticism is definitely valid in my opinion.
When you were going to watch or rewatch this film, did anyone notice the tagline? Because I was like surprised that this very common tagline is coming from this movie. I don't know if it was the first use of it ever, but it's definitely a common one, which is "be afraid, be very afraid." I thought that was pretty
really
cool. Yeah, because it's actually a line that Veronica Quaife says in the movie, right?
Yeah, she does say that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. To the ex, I think, to him, maybe. Who does she say it to?
She says it to.
She says it to someone who's like going to go see him or something like that, and he's like, should I be worried? And she's like, be afraid. Like, I don't know. You could see that
being like a trailer line, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that really fits.
He tries to turn her in the end, right?
That's but I like that they ending. Put it on the box. Right, yeah, that was the tagline.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
I mean, it's also a good poster. It's just the teleporter, and it's like kind of green. Like, there's multiple posters, obviously, but like that's kind of cool because unless you've watched the trailer or you haven't, and you're just going to the movies to watch the next horror, the Cronenberg movie or whatever, I think that's kind of clever.
And there's no way we get Baxter Stockman of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles if we don't have this movie for sure.
It'd be pretty much at the same time. It'd be very close to when the comics were made, right? So I think they were made in 85 or 86 or something. So I can look that up.
Baxter Stockman, the fly character in the Ninja Turtles. Yes, I agree. He like goes Baxter Stockman in the end. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And like,
that was what I was thinking. I was like, maybe it was my Letterboxd review. Like, I fully expected the Ninja Turtles, or the movie would have been a lot better if the Ninja Turtles just busted through the roof at the end and just like,
you know, turns into funny.
Ninja Turtles movie of the Ninja Turtles fighting Baxter Stockman.
Like, you mentioned comic book movies, the way that it goes when he's first getting like infused with the fly and he's doing the physique and the flips and the acrobat stuff, like that feels like a progression of like a superhero origin story. Like, it feels like it could have gone to a point where now he has these powers, he's gonna fight crime, but of course they went the other route with the body horror and everything like that.
I don't really understand the whole like now I'm a gymnast thing. I don't know, that felt really like one. Like, I can understand at
proportional
some point,
strength of a fly, right? Like, I get what Ian's saying. Like, so many superheroes' origin stories are like, oh, I merged my DNA, or I merged with a, you know, radioactive spider bit being. It's like, this is just another take on it. And it starts with the whole, like, if you were watching the movie, and you had no idea. You had no idea the plot of the movie, because we know, but picture 1986. You always seen the trailer doesn't give anything away, and you go and you sit in the movie theater and you have no idea what you're watching. There's a brief 5-minute window where you're like, oh, I'm watching like a superhero movie and this is how he gets his powers. Then it's like, oh no, oh, this is not going the way I thought it was going to go. And it's
It'd be funny
if you build it like that for someone and they just get like totally shocked.
Don't watch a trailer. It's like,
it's about a guy becoming a superhero. He gets the powers.
This is an indie comic superhero movie.
There's like a 5-minute window where like you could buy that and then it starts getting fucked up and you'd be like, what the hell? So I knew it was coming, but I saw that angle too. And I thought that was pretty funny.
That gross puke scene that you're talking about, Power, is what he playfully called vomit drop, by the way.
Vomit drop. I thought it was... Mina, did you buy the gymnastics part? Because I did not at all. I thought it was ridiculous.
I think that was part of my problem with the movie, was like the abilities he was getting as he was turning into the fly. I don't associate any of those with flies. Like,
like the gymnastics thing. It's like
the
what?
Gymnastics, the even the like aggressiveness. It's like, are flies predators?
Like, right. No, spiders, I don't know, it are. Just,
yeah, like, I understand like if he was turning into a spider, but it's like he's turning into a common housefly. Like, has to be one of the most like,
should be like scary hiding insects in the corners and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just, they do say that line where like all insects are brutal. Like, they don't really compromise. They don't, you know, they kind of justify in that sense. But
is it true? I don't
it's
know,
like
it's
turning
just
off the
like,
humanity parts of his brain and just
yeah, I guess
pure.
So.
I guess, yeah.
Whatever.
I guess if it was any kind
Animalistic
of
energy, like
well, like Spider-Man, like Stan Lee came up with
yeah.
the idea of Spider-Man seeing a fly sticking on the wall. So like, it's
Yeah.
yeah. I thought about that.
I think I'm with Mina a little bit too, where it felt a little bit weird. I mean, I guess you have to get him to be more than just physically different. I understand that that probably makes sense, or at least helps. But I think like when he climbs on the wall, when she comes in and he's like on the ceiling or whatever, I was like, oh, I that makes sense. That
Yeah.
sure. Yeah. I almost expected that. Also, that's a part I thought that looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought they were gonna cut away and he was gonna be sort of like, you know, half climbing off the wall kind of thing. But the camera follows him the whole way and he goes from being on the ceiling and the wall and then on the floor. And I don't know what I expected. I don't know if I probably expected that it was going to be like, you know, a little bit more like it cut away a couple times or whatever, but the camera work on that and keeping your eye on it the entire time, I think makes it more believable. And that's what I liked about the movies when it did stuff like that. We'll talk about the ending, Mike, if you want now,
Well,
but
I was
the
gonna say,
ending
let's
was.
talk about the pregnancy because I know Mina,
Oh.
you said that that was like really one of the grosser aspects to it, especially given the time that you watched it. But it was a big plot point in the movie and probably one of the more like riskier choices for Cronenberg, right? To go that way route and to explore that idea.
I will say I did not like that part at all.
Right.
Like when they went through like the whole dream sequence thing, I didn't know it was a dream because I haven't seen the movie before. And I was like, this is too much. This is not cool. Like I thought they went way too far with it. I understand what they're getting at, but it did not have to be that long and that detailed almost. I'm trying to find the right word for it. Just
It's
show her waking, show her dreaming, or just show the scene of the doctor grabbing a larva or whatever. And that's it. Everything else you didn't need. I think they just.
I think that plays into the body horror theme, right? Like
Yeah, I
they're
think I've already mentioned it, but I think the purpose of the movie is to gross you out, upset you, make you squeamish. And he just thought, what's the most squeamish, grossest thing? And that is it. And that scene is very hard to watch and very disturbing, and it sits with you after the movie. And that's what he was, if that's what he was going for, mission accomplished. But as the viewer, it's like it's very disturbing and upsetting scene, and it's very hard to watch. But I think that's what he's going for. But
But what
it
made it
is.
worse for me is that it's not resolved at all.
Oh, I was
Yeah,
gonna
by the end
mention,
of
I
the
was gonna
movie.
touch on
Yeah.
that.
The movie just fucking ends. Like,
So.
yeah. Like what the last 5 seconds of this movie is just stupid. It's just like, why would you end it at that exact moment? I understand that the style of movies in like the 70s and 80s, early 90s, and sometimes movies just sort of like, you know, you don't resolve everything. I'm actually okay with movies not answering all the questions. Ambiguity is totally fine with me. The way that what led to that last scene and the answers that needed to be
It was
sort
such a
of
big plot
partially
point.
addressed. It doesn't
Remind
have to
me of
be.
the last 5 seconds, real quick, because I'm about to touch on what maybe happens next.
Well, essentially they blow him up, she starts crying, and the movie's over.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. The fact that she's pregnant is kind of a loose thread, and I didn't like I already mentioned earlier how I bought that she would be scared to go through with it and maybe want to have, you know, get rid of it. But at the same time, it was actually the Stath is Born's part of it that I didn't get, which was like his character never fully made sense to me. It was like he was starting off, he was this, you know, douchebag ex-boyfriend. Now he's the one saying, oh, maybe we should wait. Like, what is your motivation to waiting? Like, why would you want her to keep this thing? So it's like, so that part. But then, so to touch on like where it goes, I looked it up. I didn't realize this movie had a sequel, but it came out in 1989,
What?
and it's actually starring like, I don't Eric Stoltz, but like it's none of the original cast, but it's the story is the son. He's like a half human,
Oh
half fly,
God.
and
Oh
he's on the
God.
run from the government. So it's more like a superhero
Oh
origin
my,
story.
no way. Oh
Oh,
my
that is
God.
such a terrible idea. I can't believe
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's
Oh my God, that
ridiculous.
makes this movie worse.
Yes, somehow. Wow.
But
after that scene,
to Cronenberg's defense, when you make a studio film, you have no control over what you do next.
No, it's not his fault or anything. It's just the fact that that's also what the premise is makes it worse, I think. That part of it, as up and down as the movie was for me, that part was not pleasant to sit through in any way. And whether it's intentional or not, I feel like they could have. I think they just could have treated it differently, not bringing in other elements of it that just made it, and then I don't know how you resolve that. I don't know what else you do. I understand why that's a choice. I understand why, like, I'm pregnant is a thing, but maybe that could have been earlier in the movie and it could have been resolved in some way or at least discussed further or something. But like,
wouldn't it have been cool if it was ambiguous as to like when they did it? Maybe they did it around the same time that he went in the machine and you weren't sure, like something
I don't think you're sure.
I think that's the point. Just the fact that it could be
because she says it's his, so like clearly it's gonna be
a
fly.
Well, it's his, but they didn't do it when
they were having sex before he merged with the fly too.
No, it happened.
Oh, they weren't. I can't remember now.
No, I'm pretty sure they did. They had sex before he
and after. So
fly.
You didn't really know, but
you
it
don't
was,
really know. Yeah,
but
and it's only the
it
movie
puts
only
that thought into
over
you
the course
with
of
that
like a
dream,
few weeks.
Yeah, with that
and
dream
that's,
sequence.
That's
so
why
it's like,
that's why the other guy says like, well, maybe wait, because it's like he doesn't want her to make that decision if it's not a fly baby.
But. So he wanted her to get the tests and all this. I don't know. I really didn't like that Statham's boring character.
Yeah, that guy was.
I thought it was a pretty enjoyable sci-fi romp through the 80s.
The ending is wild. I think what's funny about the ending too is the movie just ends and the first thing that shows up on the credits is the fly created by whatever the person's name is. Because like all you're staring at for like the last 6 minutes or 7 minutes of the movie is that fly, is that character. And then it's like, oh, by the way, this guy created that.
I think Mike mentioned this. They lean into the fact that they want to keep shocking you, but I think his maniacal plan of like combining the three bodies kind of didn't really make sense other than to just shock you one last time. Like
that's part of the reason why that stuff bugged me too. Is like no, we're family. We can be one.
It's going for like 7.6 on IMDb, so I think that's probably around where I'd put it. Maybe a 7. Yeah,
fair enough. All right. Yeah. So those are our thoughts on The Fly. So there you go, Dave. Your reign of terror, at least in some people's eyes, continues. So, now we have to review The Wedding Singer next, which was Wife Power's pick. So stay tuned for that. Find the podcast at Day Back In on all your social media feeds. Thanks for listening. And check us out on Patreon, where we're reviewing Marvel and Star Wars shows on Disney Plus. Patreon.com/backinmyday. Thanks for joining us, everyone here. And that's a wrap.
Ciao, everyone.
Something went wrong, Seth. When you went through, something went wrong.